Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. For one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in your straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Fear. What is fear? Fear can be defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, or pain, or harm. That's when it's as a noun. Or in this psalm, we see it as a verb. It's when we're afraid of someone or something as likely to be dangerous or painful or harmful. You know, the subject of fear is fascinating. We react quickly to potential danger in order to stay safe. First, the sensory organs. Our eyes, our ears, tongue, nose and skin, they actually pick up cues from our surroundings and they feed them through to the brain. The brain's threat centre is a structure called the amygdala, and it's constantly on the lookout for danger. If it identifies a possible threat, it sounds the alarm, and this kicks the fight or flight or freeze response into gear. And before we know it, our heart's beating like crazy. We're taking quick, shallow breaths, and we're sweating in case we need to defend ourselves or make a quick getaway. And this is all controlled by an autonomic nervous system, which regulates those changes to the body's vital functions. So, it's a full body experience, and I'm sure you can think of a time when your body has done just that. The brain does the brunt of the processing and the coordination work, but the entire body gets involved to create the whole fear response. Can you recall a moment of fear in the last week or month? It could be fear of circumstances, fear of failure, fear of sickness, surgery, pain, change. Some of us have a fear of going to the dentist, or spiders, snakes, dogs, confined spaces, crowds, heights. There are many fears that we can experience. There's even a fear of long words. And I hesitate to try this today, but let's give it a go. It's a hippopotomonstrosis cryptodaliophobia. Oh, thank you. Anybody like to do better than that? I've had to do it phonetically because it's so long. Or one you might relate to Its nosocomphobia, and that's a fear of hospitals. So they have all these names for all of these fears that we actually experience in our lives. Now, I have a fear of man-made heights. It's a little strange because my father is an engineer. But we did the bridge climb of the Harbour Bridge in Sydney a couple of years ago. And one of my fears is being able to see through ladders, steps, or glass floors, those types of things. It can get me quite funny. Now, climbing the bridge climb, when you first climb up to get onto the arch of the bridge, you have all these ladders that you climb. Some of you may have done this. And the last 10 steps are like a ladder with a slightly wider foot, and it's quite high, and it's directly over the road below. And you can see straight through. Now, this is my fear. But I so much wanted to do this. So I took a few deep breaths and I made my breathing longer and slower. There was a mirror at the top so that the guide could see what was happening down below. And I looked at the mirror and I definitely didn't look down. And I also didn't look out. Because if I looked out through these steps, I really was aware of just how high that I was. And keeping my eyes firmly on that mirror above, I did step by step until I got to the top. And the climb guide grinned as I turned the corner, because he's seen this before, I'm sure, this fear. Once you're on the bridge arch, it's easy, it's very wide. You forget how high you are. The views were amazing. It was a great experience, but there was this moment of fear where my body was well aware that I was afraid. When do we have moments of fear in our lives? I wonder if just for 20 seconds you could share with someone near you about a fear that you have. 20 seconds, go. So perhaps we can hold that thought. And I can see that some of us have had body experiences. There are some people doing this. Hold that thought as we explore Psalm 27 together, which speaks of overcoming fear, trusting in God and waiting on God. You know, the Psalms are amazing. A collection of songs and prayers, poetry from beginning to end, 150 psalms divided into 5 books. And they have these classifications, including praise and thanksgiving and lament, liturgical for public worship, community and wisdom. They reflect different life experiences and contain almost every human emotion exposed in prayer. They're a source for our own prayer and devotions, and they can speak into our current situation for anxiety and depression. Go to Psalm 13. We all know the comfort of Psalm 23, or the longest Psalm, 119, is a devotional on the Word of God. The Bible Project that you see on the screen at the moment has this great 9-minute overview of the Psalms, and they draw this picture as they go. I commend it to you. In Psalm 27, we found this expression of confidence together with a complaint about circumstances, and that's often a pattern of the lament Psalms. Now, lament is not a word that we use in our everyday language. It means passionate expression of grief or sorrow, or, put simply, a complaint. Psalms of lament can either be communal or individual, and this one is from the perspective of one person. This psalm is both a song of trust as well as an individual lament, but it does follow the pattern that you find in the lament psalms. First of all, you address God. Secondly, you bring up the issue or the complaint. Thirdly, you have your petition. And fourthly, there's an expression of trust. Psalm 27 relates really closely to 26 and 28. It's a trilogy in a sense. So read them together. It's good to read those three together. In verse 1, it opens with this statement of trust, and the writer, David, acknowledges that the Lord is his light. Salvation and stronghold or strength of his life, and hence drives away fear. We see here that if God is our strength, we need not fear our own weakness. And in this opening verse, David is showing that he's unafraid. In verses 2 and 3, we have the issue at hand, and here he moves to state the issue or the complaint. And so we have this description of his circumstances, and it's clearly not comfortable. We get a sense and feel of what David is facing and what he's feeling. It was probably written when he was exiled from home and when he was being hunted by a king, King Saul. And from the psalm, we read that he's facing adversaries. There's a risk of war. Armies are against him. His enemy is even described as a pack of hunting animals by the use of the word devour. And yet we read these words, my heart will not fear. My heart. Heart in biblical language is the center of the human spirit. And so our very center, our very core, will not fear. And it finishes with the words, even then, I will be confident. In verses 4 to 6, we have seeking God's presence. In these verses, the psalmist seeks abiding security and then the joy of God's presence. There's a singleness of purpose here. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's looking at his circumstances from this wider perspective, a heavenly perspective. And in these verses we find he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. Now, in the ancient Near East, when a visitor entered the host's tent, the host was personally responsible for his protection and provision. So the flimsy tent became a fortress. So God is our protector and provider. And this prayer includes a prayer for deliverance from his enemies. They're unspecified. We don't know if they're inside or outside the kingdom that he was in, or both. And we read that it does include false witnesses, spouting malicious accusations, something that I think we can all relate to still today. The best distraction from fears is to seek God, and David finishes these verses with exuberant praise. In the next lot of verses, the psalmist is in earnest petition, a prayer for deliverance from danger, a prayer of need. Confidence of the previous verses doesn't eliminate trouble from life. He looks to the Lord to keep him safe, free from destruction. There are several motivations for prayer amongst the verses. Seeking the face of God. Lord, I'm counting on you. God has been a helper in the past, remembering the times when God has helped us. God has been near when we felt alone. And we also see the motivation for prayer of the psalmist's enemies are close. When we feel overwhelmed by stuff, is a time to turn to God in prayer. The words, though my father and mother forsake me, are probably hypothetical, as we're not aware of his parents disowning him. It's probably more to highlight that God's love would still persist even if this was the case. God's love is greater than the natural concern of parents for a child. And we come across these beautiful words, "Teach me your way, Lord, lead me in a straight path." Like a pilgrim, sure progress in learning what is right and moral, David asked the Lord for guidance, for a level path without the traps. David finishes with trust and hope in his unfailing Lord. He returns to the present moment, gives testimony to steadfast endurance. There's a certainty of the Lord's sufficiency, the patience of faith which waits with confidence. David calmly waits on the Lord. Faith and patience go together. Over and over again in the Psalms, we come across this word wait. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting for the Lord. And we know that God is in the waiting. God is in the longing. God is in the hoping. It's unclear who's writing these last verses. It could be David addressing his own soldiers, or it could be a priest addressing David, the psalmist. Whoever it is, there's a sense here, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and so I have nothing to fear. The word wait in this context can also mean hope. You know, this is a deep, deep trust. A confidence of a new life given. The complaint is real. The circumstances are real. But it's powerfully contained in trust. Before and after, the psalmist has experiences of God's care, and that prevents anxiety now. So what do we take from this into our everyday lives in 2019? I believe we can learn from David. Confidence in God amidst fear, amidst uncertainty, amidst change. Being honest before God about our circumstances, telling God how it is that we feel. Seeking God's presence. One thing I ask of the Lord. Prayer. Seeking God to keep us safe and asking God to teach us God's ways. And expressing trust, believing and waiting. We learn that confidence in God wins out over whatever it is that we're going through. Taking time to fellowship with God and getting directions from God sustains us. We learn that when we know God and trust God, God helps us to overcome the fears that can paralyze us in our lives. We all have fears. Sometimes it might be the fear, like the fear of a spider. But there are other very real fears. Fear of circumstances, fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of what others may say or do to us, fear of pain, medical tests, cancer, treatment, fear of failure, fear of the future. What was the fear that you shared with your neighbour earlier? You know, in all these situations, we can have confidence in God. The Old Testament points us to the cross of Christ. All the writings point the way to a relationship in Jesus, including this psalm. And when we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're in relationship with God. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to seek him out. Invite Jesus in. Psalm 27 encourages us in so many ways, including confidence in God amidst fear. And as the psalmist reminds us to look at our circumstances from that wider and that heavenly perspective, our relationship with Jesus and our faith in God is a key to overcoming fear. And finally, we've looked at this psalm from an individual basis, but I wonder how this psalm speaks into our church here at Adelaide West. What fears do we have as a church? What fears do we have about our church? What fears do we have as a community together? Fear of circumstances, fear of change, the unknown, or failing to be the church? We can have confidence in God amidst those fears. We can be honest together before God about our circumstances. We seek God's presence together. We pray together, seeking God, asking God to teach us God's ways, and we express trust together. This week, and in this season of Lent that we're still in, as we prepare our hearts and minds for Easter in just a few weeks, we remember these words in our individual lives, as well as a church together. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are our light and our salvation. You are the stronghold of our lives. Thank you that we don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. Father God, we're grateful for your love and grace so high, so wide, so deep, we can scarcely understand it. We pray that in our busy lives we'd find time to draw near to you, to seek your presence, to grow in our faith. We're sorry for those things that we think, say, and do that are not of you, for the things that we don't think, say, and do that we should. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, these things and all our sins are forgiven. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us, for each of us. You know what it's like to have false witnesses rise up against you. Thank you for taking that for us. And Holy Spirit, help us to wait, to be strong and take heart. Teach us your ways. Lead us in straight paths. Loving God, we pray for anyone here this morning living with fear or in fear. Fear of circumstances, change, or others, the unknown, failure, or the future. We pray that they would know your peace and find confidence in you. Together we lift up our souls to you, O Lord.